This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6 hours, 43 minutes, 27 seconds until first pitch. Should be a fun one tonight. Let's see. Jason Kipnis is throwing out the first pitch for tonight's game. So that should be kind of a treat. We'll see how they're... I don't know if I was upset or just kind of irked or just kind of irritated when CC Sabathia threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium.
You were irked and irritated. You were both. I believe there was a rant that took place.
Did I say he was dead to me at some point? Somebody said that to me.
I think you did.
Really?
I think you did. Yeah. It left a mark.
I'll never be. I enjoyed CC as a friend more than a baseball player.
It's nothing. And maybe I'm the weirdo on this stuff. It's nothing personal to me on any of that. Like, he chose to go to the Yankees. It was the first time in his career he chose to go somewhere. And he chose to go to New York. They asked him to throw out the first pitch. Great. In the same way that, you know, if Missoula were to call and go, Andy Baskin, we want you to throw out the first pitch at the Grizzly baseball game, you'd do it. You would do it in a minute. Cleveland's your home.
Yeah, but who are they playing? But if they're not playing against, Cleveland.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You'd go and do it. Absolutely.
I'd show up with my Kent State gear on.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
You'd put a Grizzlies hat on.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be wearing my Montana stuff.
See, there you go.
In 2 seconds.
The fact that I can remember that says we spend too much time together.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I'm kind of just soaking in the game a little bit, right? And I'm trying to figure out... First of all, it's absolute must win.
Hands down, no
questions. We talk about this. You're not going down 3-0 to the Yankees. They just have too much power. There are a million different ways to look at this game tonight. I got to tell you, the one thing that has really caught my eye yesterday was looking at Clark Schmidt's numbers against the Guardians lineup. And if Andre Jimenez ever had a pitcher that he could go up against that he could feel some confidence in. So Jimenez so far through the through 23 at-bats has 4 hits, 3 runs, right? So, I mean, you're kind of hoping for a little bit more than a 174 average throughout the playoffs. It's 7 games. I know it's a small sample size, but he's hitting 174 in the playoffs through 7 games. And then I'm looking for a confidence builder for him. And I'll be honest, Clark Schmidt, it could be the answer for him. He's 5-for-10. He's hitting 500 if you're slow at math like I am. He's got 2 strikeouts. He's got 1 RBI. This could be the night Jimenez wakes up and can start contributing to the offense. Here's the other thing that I like about the Guardians tonight up against Clark Schmidt. Now, Schmidt's had a little bit of time off between his last start and this start. And maybe he might be a little bit stronger with a little bit of extra rest. I was listening to Buster Olney this morning talking about that a little bit. But you have other guys on this Guardians team that have had success against Schmidt. Like, if you're at home, you slept in your own bed last night, now you're stepping up to the plate in the box that you've been in, you know, all year or for years, and you're going to step up to the mound against the guy who's going to be out there who's, you know, that you've had success against. I can't think of a better, like, psychological place to be than, you know, Stephen Kwan's been killing the ball already, and so he's 4-for-8. Against Clark Schmidt. Jose Ramirez is 4-for-9 against Clark Schmidt, 444. So, you know, I'm looking at these guys and I'm going, okay, here we go. This might be a great opportunity for the Guardians to kind of, they need a complete game of offense. And I don't think that's asking too much. And I think tonight is the night. You know, you can't leave 11 runners on base in a playoff game against the Yankees. And, you know, we talked about this for a little bit. Have the Guardians kind of beat themselves? That's like another one of those questions I think is out there about this. You know, the Yankees can make all the headlines. The Yankees have bats that can crush you in a moment's notice. They just crush you. But have they beat themselves? They've had opportunities. We know they need to play near-perfect ball to win these games, right? I mean, it's the way of the season, and I'm okay with that. That's what we've watched all year long. This team really can't afford to make mistakes, and their defense has been good all season long. You get one fluky pop-up the other night that ends up costing a little bit. But by the same token, this is the way they have lived and died all season. So there's nothing to to look at this game and go, okay, I can expect this. You know what to expect out of this team. You're not going to get home runs out of – you're not going to see back-to-back home runs anytime soon. You're not going to see three or four guys in the lineup hit home runs. That's just not who they are. But tonight is the night that's just sitting there waiting for them. They've got good hitters again and good successful hitters against a guy the Yankees are going to throw tonight. Tonight's the night to go out and just get that win. I know Stephen Vogt was talking about being back home and playing the way they have all season long. If he's going to say that, he's got to manage the way he's managed all season long. That was like the first time I read something and I was like, wait, he's saying he wants them to get back to where they were during the regular season. Okay, well, if that's the case, you've got to take the psychological pressure off by pulling your starter with, you know, 1 1/3 in. I understand why he's doing it. I get it. But in some ways, I just think they need to chill out a little bit and go play baseball. Go have some fun, right?
I can see that. I can see what you're saying. Look, they got a hit. I'm sorry. I would love to sit here and go, yeah, it's on the starting pitching. It's on Joey Cantillo in the bullpen. My whole life, two L's has been a Y, and him being Cantillo perpetually screws me up. Anyway, Joey Cantillo coming into that situation, it very much felt like the lights of Yankee Stadium were very bright for a couple of guys. And
that place is intimidating,
That place is intimidating, and I know
there's no way your blood can't just kind of curl a little bit when you're going up against another team, and they do that roll call, and they're calling out all their guys, and you know you're in this grandioso stadium.
It's no longer
it's
the house that Ruth built. It's not that one. It's the house that George built. There's more champagne and sushi now, but it's still Yankee Stadium, and it's still roll call. And it's still the, you know, strikeout sound effect that comes with it. And it's still all of the things that make it the New York Yankees. And you know there are a chunk of that guys that got in there and went, let's go, I got this. And there are a chunk of guys who were going, oh boy. And maybe that's the pop fly. Maybe that's the Will Brennan bobble in right field. Maybe that's some, you know, Joey Cantillo spiking pitches. A mix between the LCS and Yankee Stadium. And we all know how that goes. And so that's why I think this is like the best bit of refresh you could possibly have is to come back to Progressive Field where you have been in big games before. You have won big games before. You are comfortable here. But more than anything else, I can't get grumpy at the pitching. You can't hit. Nobody's hitting. Nobody's drawing walks. Nobody is hitting the ball with any kind of authority besides Brian Rocchio, Stephen Kwan, and Lane Thomas. And you could probably throw David Fry in there, but in this series, it's been a little bit less. Outside of that, nobody has hit the ball with authority with this team. It has been a lot of dribblers. It has been a lot of swing and miss. It has been a lot of lazy fly balls. Somebody on this team besides Rocchio, Kwan, and Thomas need to get going. And maybe Jose Ramirez gets cranking after that home run late in the game against Weaver. Maybe that gets him going, which would be awesome. But boy, Josh Naylor, if you want to get your money, you better show up now. Boy,
well, he's another guy that's, you know, had a little success against Schmidt. He's only faced him three times, but he got a hit.
Boy, Andrés Giménez, let's get cooking, buddy.
I take it back. He's been walked four times, so he's been patient at the plate against Schmidt.
So, he's one. He was hacking every
as on base is 714 against him
on the call this morning. And I'll give you credit. Every away breaking ball, he was been hacking at.
He just needs a longer bat.
You need the...
How about going up with a telephone pole? You're strong enough. You can do that.
Right. What was it? Was that Bugs Bunny who went and got the telephone pole? Or was that one of the members of the Gas House Gorillas? I can't remember.
I don't know. All I know is I saw Bugs struck out three guys on one pitch. That was an impressive... Impressive
three,
pitch. Phil Niekro was like, damn, that's a good knuckleball.
Probably was inspiration. But yeah, like, be patient. Work some of these counts. Get some knocks. Get into hitter-friendly counts. Stop swinging at the first pitch on top of it. Come on, David Fry. The guy threw four balls and you hack at the first pitch on an inside fastball that was a pitcher's pitch. What are we doing here? Like, that's the kind of stuff
Josh Naylor did the same thing.
That's the kind of stuff where we're like, guys, this is what's getting you in trouble. The miscues in the field are one thing. I can't lose my mind over the pitching staff. But if you're going to hack at first pitches after four straight balls, come on. Like, that's just simple. Take a pitch. Let the guy find the zone. If it's a pitcher's pitch, don't swing at it early in a count. Like, we could do this. Come on. Go get him, team.
It's like a lion that's just salivating for that pitch, though, after you see it, because you know they need to throw a strike, and you're like, 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Laid out some of those numbers. Does that give you any hope tonight as the Guardians take on Clark Schmidt and the Yankees tonight trying to dig their way out of this 0-2 hole? It's a 5-0-8 first pitch tonight, so, you know, a little bit of dinner and the Guardians and... You know, let's see what happens tonight. I feel good. I do feel good. I feel better than I did in game two, and we saw what happened in game two. Although they had opportunities, you can't leave 11 guys on base. We are getting amped. We are set. We are psyched. We're talking a little bit about tonight's Guardians-Yankees game, game three. Guardians trying to, you know, dig their way out of this hole, 0-2. We'll talk about Yankee fans here in a second, but there's only, I don't know, is it what on the level of, like, bottom feeder, Yankee fan or Red Sox fan?
Again, 5:08 is your start time today. 5:08 for this game.
Yeah, you didn't answer the question.
Which one is worse?
What's worse?
Yankee fans. All day's Yankee fans.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not even close.
So my blood pressure's been pretty low, so I figured I would amp it up just a little bit. So we'll start things off with Bostonian today. Bostonian, hey, I just want to remind you, before you get going here, your Patriots are also 1-5. Your Bruins are 3-2. They played five games. They look really, really, I mean, they look like a peewee team that first night against Florida. Oh, man, that first period was probably one of the best first periods I've ever seen. And then, by the way, I'm looking for your Red Sox. Congratulations. Not in last place in the AL East. You guys were 500 this year. So, hey, I just want to give you a little bit of credit there, you know, for being a diehard Boston fan. What do you got?
I want to make your life miserable this weekend because you're not going to – it's over.
It's over. Let him talk. He is an expert at it's over because his Red Sox are sitting at home.
No. I would point out, is it the enemy of the enemy, my friend?
We blew it. We blew it. We should have been in the playoffs, but we blew it at the end.
Oh, man, that sucks.
But you're going to put out all this crap out there.
About what?
Your team coming back and winning.
Yeah.
When they got no chance. They got no chance.
I remember when you told me this, when you said the Cavs couldn't come back. Yeah, I remember that. Again. And then what happened?
Right. I didn't see you.
I didn't see you at the parade. I didn't miss you there.
I was right most of the time when I told you guys. Sometimes I was wrong. I was wrong about New England Patriots. I thought this year they would really go to the top.
Oh, they're killing it on the bottom, man. They're great. They're like my favorite 1-5 team.
They got the same record you got.
The only thing you have going for you there in Boston with the Patriots is the fact Brian Hoyer's now doing some media stuff.
I feel like congratulations. Thanks, Boston. Again, be the voice of reason on this.
Yeah.
Is it the enemy of my enemy, my friend? Isn't that how this is supposed to work? Instead of you antagonizing him, shouldn't we be like, dude, you don't want the Yankees to win. We don't want the Yankees to win. Come aboard. We'd love to have you.
No, the only reason I took his call is because I want to remind him that the Red Sox weren't in the playoffs, that the Bruins, who I actually kind of like a little bit, but that they're, you know, they're looking up at the Maple Leafs right now and the Panthers. And the fact the Patriots are 1-5, I'm not going to lie. I'm enjoying it.
Well, any other Boston Red Sox fan, we'd love to have you on the bandwagon.
Quintrell has been hanging on the line in Youngstown. Hello, Quintrell.
What's happening, man?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's going on with you? You've been hanging for a while, so thanks for hanging.
Yeah, I'm tired of this narrative about the Yankees and Yankee Stadium. It's every time that we go there that these guys wet themselves. You got to get a lead early tonight. And then let's make Cleveland that kind of thing for the Yankees. I mean, this city is starving for something positive with the way the Browns have been going and the way this series has started. So let's get a lead tonight. Let's bring the crowd into it. Let's make the Yankees, let's put the pressure on them because there's no pressure on us. Nobody thought we'd be here. And that's what we got to do to him tonight.
Good job, Cottrell. I'd let you talk to my team anytime before the game. I enjoyed that conversation.
I mean, I agree completely. You should make them uncomfortable in here. It should get raucous in that stadium. It should get loud. It should rattle them a little bit. Yes, yes, yes. The problem is, again, it's Yankee Stadium, and there's a lot of ghosts in there, too. Then, you know, you get these kids.
Those ghosts are across the street, though.
That's true.
I don't know if they're actually in that stadium.
Like, that's very true.
They could be buried across the street. 216-474-0092. Cool Ray.
I'm gonna tell
you. Gotta turn it down, Cool Ray. Turn down your radio.
Tell y'all the shows y'all gotta watch. You gotta watch.
Oh, are we just listening to Cool Ray talking to his boys? Or is Cool Ray with us? Cool Ray, you there or not?
throw him on hold.
Okay. You can call back if you want to. Chip is in Hunting Valley. Hi, Chip. How are you?
What's happening, Chip?
I'm great. Things are great in Hunting Valley. Baskin, you got to tell your relatives or in-laws to get a hotel. Just tell them to get a hotel.
Oh, that's not me. This was back in the day. This was like in the 70s. That was all. That was my dad. That was my dad's favorite line.
Or an Airbnb.
Those are wonderful. We are the greatest family on earth for about 24 hours.
Then you're normal. Anyway, guys, in the off season, please lobby, sell, talk about the fact that we need an authentic major league catcher. This is ridiculous. This is a big hole in our lineup. And, I mean, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to get swept. And I want to ask you, when's the last time this team has won two in a row from the Yankees? Do you have that information?
Not in front of me, but if you give me a bit, Chip, I could find that out for you probably in the next segment.
Yeah, let us know, because I think it's been a very long time. And I use the word peewees. I mean, this is like men versus boys. Hmm. I mean, up until the other day, our seventh place hitter in the lineup hadn't had a hit in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if that's still accurate, but we're so puny. And they talk about how we're the third lowest payroll in the major leagues. Who cares? Spend 20% more, get a catcher, maybe another starting pitcher. They could have went after Matt Snell. They didn't want to do that. Snell stayed where he was, I think. But I just want to be positive. But this is weak. We're going to get swept.
I don't think they're going to get swept, Chip. And the other side of it with the catcher, too, is I know they want to develop Bo Naylor. If you look around baseball, there's like six catchers who can hit, and everybody else is just in the dump. You know,
there's a few more that can hit more than 200. And
now that's true. That I'll give you. There's more that can hit over 200. But
Chip,
boy,
if you're not,
you get past that like six, it's like, oh, good.
Well, Chip, let's get one.
We had a chance to get that guy as the catcher for Atlanta. He got hurt, but I think he's coming back. He's from Ohio, wanted to be here, but they didn't want to give him an extension on the contract. It was year by year. We got to get a little bit more financially progressive.
Well, Chip, I mean, you're not that far away from the option to come up for David Blitzer and Matt Colick to buy the team, to buy it outright. They're minority owners now, and that's coming real soon here. So, you know, I think we're like 2 years away from that.
I want to argue with you.
Why?
Why would they sell this team?
They don't have a choice. When they bought in as minority owners, Blitzer and Colick came in, and they said, okay, well, we'll have the option to buy. And that's where they are.
They have an option, but why would you sell it? This is a license to steal. It's a license to steal this team.
Well, maybe at some point they want to step away. And you know what would be a great going away present? How about a World Series championship? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think the Dolans earned that. They've given them a shot at a World Series.
I don't know if they've earned it. I don't think they have.
Be careful. Be careful.
It's like, you know, I mean, they're not going to sell the team. Why would
you're not they? Listening to me, Chip. Listen to me. If Blitzer and Colick want the team, it's theirs. That's the deal. If they want it, it's theirs. If they want it, it's theirs. Trust me. Thanks, Chip. Appreciate you. Adam is in Aurora. Hi, Adam. How are you?
What's happening, Adam?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Oh, well, man.
So I just started my car, and I heard the last part of the segment about Red Sox fans hopping on the bandwagon. And I'm cheering for the Guardians. I want them to pull through, because I think if the Yankees lose, there's a chance Juan Soto doesn't re-sign.
Hmm.
Agreed.
Adam, I take it you're a Red Sox fan? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, listen, I just want to make this clear to all of my friends out there that are Boston sports fans. The things that come out of my mouth while I'm talking to the Bostonian are not at you. They are not at you at all. Bostonians just driven me crazy over the years, and I have plenty of friends that are huge, hardcore Boston fans, and I respect them because they are from the Northeast and they grew up there. So
the enemy is my enemy is my friend.
You good, Adam?
Yeah, we're all good, but I just don't want Juan Soto to re-sign. I think if they blow this lead, Juan Soto leaves, and he's playing on his fifth team in 4 years?
Something like that. Let the Mets hand him a whole bunch of money, and he goes absolutely nuts over there, and then I got to listen to Yankee fans get all sad at the fact that Juan Soto's doing better for the team across the town. I'm in. Sold. You have me at hello.
Yeah, I agree. And also, too, I'm cheering for the Guardians. I don't want to see a Yankees Dodgers World Series. You know what does that combined payroll? $600 million this year, $700 million.
It's out of control. It's out of control, Adam.
You know what else is out of control? That stupid commercial where the family from New York is sitting there in Boston. Uncle, I've seen that commercial enough times now. Are we done with that? Can we turn the page? Can we find some other cities? I know they've got the one, the California one, but can we turn the page on that commercial? Anyone else sick of that? Raise your hand. Thank you. Adam, have a great day, my friend. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks, man.